Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective. Jesse Thorne on vacation, a well-deserved vacation. So I'm here holding it down this week. Yeah, and I thought it might be just a fun chance to just kind of show you, the listener, kind of some stuff I work on outside the podcast. I mean, you know, I have other interests and I have other passions, and I think that one of them is bringing back slam poetry. And I've just been doing some stuff at some open mics and, you know, some coffee shops around town. And it's a little more serious. It's a little politically motivated. I mean, you know, Lord knows there's a lot going on in the news right now. And, you know, this is just my way of, like, processing it and reacting to it in a way that I think kind of, you know, kind of sums up the rhythm of my neighborhood where I'm from. And that's kind of the beat that I've set it to. So, yeah, I think this is going to be, you know, probably a 2 or 3 hour show. And I'm just going to kick it off now. Trump, he's the POTUS, but he don't care about us. I'm fucking around. I'm not going to do that. I've got two great – thank you. I have two – Jesse's not here, but I have two terrific fan favorite Jordan Jesse Go regulars here with me. First off, a writer and the host of one of my favorite podcasts, Pop Culture Happy Hour, visiting us all the way from our nation's capital, Linda Holmes.
Right. Hi, Jordan.
Hi, Linda. You're here for TCA.
That's right. Here for TCA, which is the how I normally get on Jordan Jesse Go.
Yeah, yeah. The Television Critics Association.
That's right. That's press tour. So they're bringing in all the new shows, marching Rob Lowe in front of everybody to tell everybody that he believes in ghosts.
Oh, boy.
I actually missed that session, which is really tragic.
Yeah. And it's so nice of you to break away from that to come all the way here and do this show.
That's right.
But you tell your bosses this is just on Stars, like this is a Stars show, and they're yeah, that's probably right.
Right, totally. I said, there's so many channels now, you can just say Jordan Jesse Go is a channel.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, what channel is it on? And I'll say 893. They don't know.
Oh, 893.
Cool,
yeah. They're doing some really interesting prestige stuff right now.
They're getting into scripted drama.
Isn't everybody? Isn't it short?
Yeah.
And in chair number two, fan favorite, Jordan Jesse Go guest, stand-up comic, pop culture commentator, one of the co-hosts of the Tights and Fights podcast, and one of the performers at the upcoming Max Fun Beer Blast, August 12th at Angel City Brewery here in L.A., Danielle Radford. Hi, Danielle.
Oh, hello. I could talk about Rob Lowe and ghosts all day.
Oh, my gosh. So, we've already – seems like we've got a topic here.
Mm-hmm.
a lot to cover on this week's show, but let's talk about Rob Lowe and whether or not he believes in ghosts.
So here's the thing. So I missed the session.
Okay.
So what I'm going to tell you is what I picked up from my friends who I follow on Twitter.
Okay.
Who were watching the session.
So he has,
a new show.
Okay.
Where he and his sons
travel
the country looking for ghosts, I think.
Okay. Now, would they also look for a Bigfoot or a Loch Ness Monster, or is it exclusively ghosts?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Go ahead.
Sorry, I know, because we almost covered this on Screen Junkies because I was so excited about it.
So
when I was working for Screen Junkies, he claims...
Yes.
So there is a... if you go to certain parts of the country, they have a different name for a Bigfoot. It's it's like a wood ape.
Oh, a skunk ape?
Or something like that, like a wood ape.
I've heard, yeah.
And
yeah.
So he claims to have gotten into an altercation.
Oh, boy.
With a wood ape.
Yeah.
And if you call it a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch, the locals laugh at you and they're like, ha, 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 you know nothing.
Oh, yeah.
But it is a wood ape and they do believe in it wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And he claims to have gotten into a fight with Bigfoot.
A Rob Lowe. Mm-hmm. Did he win the fight? How does he say it went?
He won't tell anyone.
Did he kill the
Bigfoot? Because I'm assuming it's the last four episodes of the show.
Oh,
it's going to be him stalking Bigfoot. It sounds a lot like what happened was that Rob was in an area where people thought wood apes exist, and then he was staying somewhere, and then someone was stomping, and he was like, oh, no, Bigfoot gonna eat me. And then he hid. And then that's what we're going to see. It's going to be very Blair Witch, very a whole lot of nothing happening. But they're using the carrot of Rob Lowe fights Bigfoot in order to get us to watch
this
show.
And that's a fucking carrot.
Oh, I'm going to watch it.
I mean, if you are looking to make me follow a carrot, Rob Lowe fights Bigfoot. Right. There's no tastier root.
Right. And what I read on Twitter was also that during this session, he revealed to the assembled critics that Charlie Sheen thinks the moon is hollow. I think.
What?
But hold on. Okay.
Oh, my God. There's so much to unpack.
Is he trotting that out? Like, here's something crazy Charlie Sheen believes.
That is a good question.
Or is he saying that here's something else me and my celebrity friends will investigate in season two?
The thing that is sad about it is that I had to be doing the kind of work that is less fun than that. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I wasn't there. It's all third hand coming from me.
So you're just at like frontline panels. You're at CBS This Morning panels talking to Charlie Rose.
That's right. I'm only at the panels that are I never get to do the really newsworthy like you say, the really newsworthy.
We gotta get you on that cryptozoology beat.
Yeah, they really do. They really do. It's been quite a thing.
So something that I always like hearing from you when you visit with us during these press tours is what the Hallmark Channel is up to.
Yes.
They're the ones who do Christmas in June, right?
Right.
Yes.
And for example, I met a very nice woman at the Hallmark party last night. As we taped this, it was last night, who told me that she wrote the screenplay for the one coming up this Christmas where Lacey Chabert is involved in competitive gingerbread house making.
Holy shit.
Oh, I want to see that movie, though.
Right?
Like,
I'll watch it.
Holy shit. As if we couldn't beat Dean Cain adopts a Christmas puppy.
I told her, I was like, I will watch it. I watched the ice sculpture one. I watched the one that Mariah Carey directed.
Mariah Carey directed?
Yes, directed and
God, she does it all. She's a multi-hyphenate.
Yeah. Yes, she appeared in one where she was like the mean girl from high school, so the woman went back to her high school and ran into her high school foe, who was Mariah Carey. Yeah.
Wow. So was she also, while she directed it, was she on a treadmill in heels?
She was not.
And everything on all the sets was white. Just white. Everything is happening draped in white linen.
The other thing is she was like lit and shot differently in a way that everybody was like, what is the... It was like she had her own...
Oh, that's funny. It's just like if one character just had an Instagram filter on themselves.
It was very interesting.
Which is amazing because they're used to, I don't know if you ever watched The Adventures of Superman, the Lois and Clark.
Sure.
With Dean Cain?
The TV show that introduced us to Dean Cain.
Because it's the best show in the whole world.
Well, I used to have an autographed photo that said, Super Wishes, Dean Cain.
Oh, and I do like
Cain knows how to sign a photo.
Yeah. He knows how to sign a photo. If he knows nothing else, that man knows how to sign a photo. So you remember that photo.
Yeah.
So they had on that show, if you ever go back and you look, Lois has just like a beam of light hitting her directly in the eyes the entire...
That's the Divine Miss Terry Hatcher, if I remember correctly.
The Divine Miss Terry Hatcher, who is now on Supergirl, which is a show that does very cute casting.
That sounds cute.
Everyone who's ever been involved in a Superman that is not famous enough to say no always comes back and does things. And
all the non-Gene Hackmans.
So they all... they had Calista Flockhart the first season, and on that season...
Now, was she involved in a Superman? No, this is a separate category.
She wasn't. This is a separate category.
Gotcha.
This is going back to the Instagram filter because they put such Photoshop on her.
Oh, boy.
Then you could see it in scenes where it was differently lit or it was outside of her office.
You're like, she's a businesswoman. Why is she wearing a flower crown all the time?
Why does she have puppy ears?
I mean, it's cute. She could be a Kryptonian. Maybe she's from...
We appreciate it, but man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was another one where... And then she left because she didn't want to move to Vancouver. And I'm like, are you sure it's not because it got way too expensive for them to get rid of your age?
Which is
an unfair thing, but it is what they did. And those moments when they wouldn't be able to put the Photoshop filter on her, I was like... She looks like a woman of her age, like it's fine.
So, I mean, and I also really appreciate you coming and visiting us while you're here, Linda, because I always feel like when you take a break from these things, and it seems like it's kind of all day. You wake up, you go to this thing, you go to that thing. Mm-hmm. Whenever you come to visit us, you are missing out on free shrimp.
That is true.
And I couldn't appreciate it more because I sure as fuck wouldn't be doing this podcast if I could be eating free shrimp somewhere.
I had some free shrimp at the Hallmark party.
Oh, boy.
You know what else happened at the Hallmark party? This is the amazing part is they took us there. They take you there from the hotel in little shuttles. And then they drop you off in front of the big – Hallmark always has their party at like a big mansion or something like that.
Cool.
They're not the ones who took us to the Playboy Mansion one time. That was somebody else.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, but Hallmark took us to this big place, and you get out of the shuttle, and I stepped wrong, and I kind of tweaked my knee getting out of the shuttle, which I think is the first probably Hallmark Channel injury of all time.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I'm the first person put on the DL with like a Hallmark Channel injury.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just to say DL Hallmark Channel, you know? But yeah, big mansions. But the Playboy Mansion was one of my first press tours. It was
who was springing for the Playboy Mansion?
I think it was the Playboy Channel, and they were doing.
That's right.
They had a new. It was like I don't remember exactly how they branded it, but it was that they were inventing. They were like not inventing. They were developing new stuff that was supposed to be like content for couples. And the idea was for women. I think the idea was it was supposed to appeal to women. So they took all the TV critics to the Playboy Mansion.
And showed them softcore porn?
No, it was just at the mansion. So, like, we went in the grotto and stuff.
Okay.
Now, was this when the grotto was good or after the reports of the grotto being very sketchy and you might get a disease?
I am not sure the grotto was ever good.
Yeah, I think from probably starting at around 1978,
you probably shouldn't go there. I feel like there was a time when there was at least like a dedicated grotto man who made sure that the grotto, he checked the pH levels, just like basic things you have to do if you are a person.
Is a part of James Caan floating in this? Do I need to fish out part of James Caan with a pool skimmer?
It definitely like it smelled like a pool. It was like a damp, humid gym, except with it has mats on the floor, like next to the pools, which they tell you, which the nice playmate who takes you on the tour tells you the mats are on the ground in case anyone wants to take a nap. They're like wrestling mats in a gym.
In case anyone wants to fuck or OD on heroin, here's a nice mat so when they're convulsing, they don't hit their head or bite their tongue off.
Can you please die on this mat so that we can easily roll you up?
And just take you to the cement mixer.
That is what happened to James Caan. There's a new James Caan. I'm sorry. I didn't know if you knew.
Yeah, they're like wrestling mats. It's like not.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you feel like it would be a great place to take a nap. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Even euphemistically applying take a nap.
Right, yes. Yeah. And none of those activities would be fun on a wrestling mat, I don't think.
So. Mm-mm,
but I think, you know, you're at the grotto. You're caught up in the moment. You know, you're listening to Pauly Shore's tales of what the set of Son-in-Law was like. You've had a couple of cocktails. I bet
Scott Baio was there, probably.
Baio's there.
We got to see the zoo.
Oh, that's right, because they have, like, peacocks.
Yeah.
And
they have, like, monkeys, and they have a little zoo. Yeah.
They have a zoo. Do they have a person who – is there someone who takes – okay.
I assume so.
I bet
that's the part that worries me the most, I think, now. Because the grotto's all fun and games and James Caan's death,
but you worry about
the zoo, I worry about.
You're with the monkeys.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, you know, we definitely always hear periodically about what dire financial straits Playboy is in. You know, they're taking away the nudity. They're putting the nudity back. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. What do we do with this brand that is becoming more irrelevant by the day? I guess I'm afraid if you went now, that zoo would just be full of like stray chihuahuas who they ushered into the cages. Like, we've sold all the monkeys.
He just found some. Yeah, it's squirrels in the zoo.
Like, after his favorite playmates leave, they're just like, well, she left this stuffed animal of a bear. I guess that's our bear now.
Yeah, we have Cinnamon's Beanie Baby collection. she grew out of it, went into real estate. And
no, it's great. She was studying the whole time she was here. Everyone was really supportive. She sold her first house. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But what are we going to do with all these Beanie Babies?
Sure, they have not appreciated in value like we were promised.
And some of them have mold on them from being way too close to the grotto.
That's the weird thing, though, is like the playmate, the woman who gave us the tour, like she was super nice. She was talking all about how, You know, she was, in fact, talking about, like, her life and everything. It was a weird experience. It was a very weird experience.
I feel like I would spend my entire time talking to the Playmates about their life. Okay. They are way more interesting than any of the famous dudes.
She was like,
Hef, I just want to talk to you and be like, how did you – so I understand, like, what was your journey? And tell me – because, like – I just want to, like, because I know lots of sex workers. I know your journey to what it takes to boobs and stuff. But I want to specifically know, like, how long do you plan on being here? Is this like a grad program? Because I think of it as like a graduate program for, like, ladies that get naked. Like, this is your grad program. And then from there, you, like, move on to something. You own your own club.
And then if you want to be, like, you know, I think like graduate studies, they kind of like teach the, you know, underclassmen.
Yes,
so then I think you could be a TA of TNA.
Oh,
come on!
That's good. I like
Jordan
it.
Went a
it's
long
good.
Way for that.
I did. Yes, no, that was a long run.
I liked it. That was a good run.
Okay. Guys, you guys just take this. I just ran a half marathon to say that TNA joke.
I should also say to Danielle that we had a session with ESPN talking about their new Ric Flair documentary. So he was there
Wait, Ric Flair was there?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
This is the Nature Boy Ric Flair,
this
right?
Is the Nature Boy.
Famous Flair. 80s wrestler, 90s wrestler?
Yes. Famous longer than any of us have been alive wrestler.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and so they talked a lot about that, and I swear the entire session was like 55-year-old male TV critics leading with, I loved you when I was a kid. Everybody had to give their wrestling viewing cred to Ric Flair. Like, it was...
I always preferred you to Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
What? So one guy
it's real
starts,
to me.
One guy starts his story by saying, you know, I love wrestling. There's a picture of me sitting on Gorgeous George's lap at Venice Beach. Everybody was like,
wow.
This is quite a story already.
Yeah, where are you? Where's this going, bro?
Do but tell.
It was very warm and, you know, everybody was excited to tell him how much they loved him.
Yeah, he's very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
He could also use any dollars that you have. If you have dollars,
yes,
you should give some of those to Ric Flair. He could use them.
I'm sure this is something that you know about, but I was fascinated for a while with the Tumblr that collected pictures of sad Virgil.
Yes.
So
yes.
Virgil, I guess, was a B or C list wrestler back in the day who will just go to any con.
Yeah, Virgil was the Million Dollar Man's slave.
Uh-huh. Sure. African American man.
Yeah, he was just a black man that beat people up for him. We don't think he ever got paid. We don't know exactly what his deal was. And that is who Virgil was. And so, yes, Virgil now will go to cons. Much like many, being a wrestler is the same as being like anyone who's ever been a villain on Buffy. If things didn't go well for you later, you can always trust the con circuit to pay your rent for a year.
Sure.
And HBO,
and you'll be okay.
I think, will do a show about what if he still had that job.
Exactly.
In modern day. Right?
Exactly. And so... Virgil, he just goes from – and wrestling conventions, I think they're getting bigger now, and a lot of them are combining with comic book stuff. But
sure.
A lot of just wrestling conventions are very sad.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll just go and he'll have signs that are like, please pay just money. Put that here.
Put money here.
And he'll occasionally tweet like weird, unnecessary things to other black athletes where he'll be like, oh, you're like my sons. And people will be like, you were literally a white man's slave. We're not going, like, please don't do this to us.
Oh, boy.
The 80s,
Virgil.
You guys. That
the
was
80s.
What?
It was a different time. Long Duck Dong, you know. We didn't. We were old. We wouldn't do it now. So actually, this is a great segue because you were telling me pre-record that you went to Comic-Con for the first time.
I did.
The Comic Book Convention.
The Comic Book Convention
mm-hmm.
in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And
excellent pronunciation.
Thank you. It was my first time going. I've been wanting to go since I was like 11. And someone that I work on, one of my many nerd shows, was like, get in the car. We're going. We'll figure out a plan. And so I went down there. I went to the party for Screen Junkies, whom used to employ me and I'm still buds with. And I still go on there and do stuff all the time, but I'm no longer freelancing for them. And hung out there. I ate so many free sliders, speaking of free food.
Yeah, the fucking sliders. If you are an industry person at Comic-Con, it's less, Linda, it's less shrimp. and more sliders and like a little cone of fries or a little cone of tots.
Yeah, and then there'll be like meats and cheeses and fruits, and we'll be like, get out of here, just more little pizzas.
Yeah.
Where's the weird pizza?
Yeah, bring us a weird pizza on a little napkin.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of shrimp in my world?
I would like more shrimp, honestly. Like, as much as I liked those, if I could have been like, a cocktail shrimp, a slider, a cocktail shrimp, a slider.
Yeah. You got all.
Because then you can pretend like it's surf and turf.
Yeah, they tried to serve us. They tried to serve us one day sushi that was like out in the sun.
Oh,
no, we're all like, no.
I think everybody sort of went right by the sushi. Like, I'm not gonna take the sushi or the ceviche that's sitting out in the sun.
Why wouldn't you at least do you the benefit of having a guy there to be like, I'm watching it. Right, like, same as like
you
an
just
omelet
smell,
bar.
Just who smells it periodically and just gives a little thumbs up or a thumbs down. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And when it starts to turn, he gives a little thumbs down. Someone takes it away.
Yeah, just like have a guy in a hat and just lip service. Just pay him, and he can he doesn't have to know anything about sushi, but just pay him so that I believe that he won't let me die.
Catering has a lot of good staff. They could have a sushi smeller.
That's true. Absolutely.
Yeah. A little sniffer. How's it?
A smelled sommelier.
Yes.
Just, oh, don't eat this.
That yellow tail is not good.
Ooh,
go with that indeterminate crap.
He doesn't take it away. He just tells you it's not good.
Yeah. Oh, I can't actually toss any of this.
That's another guy. It's a
money.
Whole other guy.
But what I can tell you is it smells not good.
You got to get a different guy to toss it out. It's a union thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. There's a fish tosser. Mm-hmm. He
a
works by
smeller.
The hour. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is your first time at Comic-Con. You've been wanting to go. Was it everything you dreamed?
It was. And in fact, it was like it was. I messed up. Because I should have went before I was industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I could have like the real Comic-Con experience. Mm-hmm. And luckily for me, I wore my hair differently.
Okay.
And I couldn't find my glasses, which I found a couple days ago. They were under my mattress pad. But I couldn't find my glasses for like a week. So I went without my glasses. And so people would come up to my colleagues and like ask if they knew where I was. And I was just like...
They didn't recognize you because you.
No, it was great.
Yeah,
it
was
kind of neato at Comic-Con.
Yeah, so we all.
But you're like those.
Superman.
You're like those celebrities who put on a mask and
like
roam
Lupita.
The floor.
Yeah,
sure,
not quite like Lupita. I was not getting all that black girl magic, but it was very close. And it was one of those things where it's like I've always made fun of Superman. I think we all have. But no, if you take off your glasses, no one knows who the fuck you are. It's
you're
amazing.
Like, no, I'm just here writing a story for the Daily Planet.
People even said, like, I did a show the day after. I was doing a Game of Thrones recap show, and I had people sending me messages, like fans and stuff, on the Twitter and on the other things that were like, I had no idea that was you. And I was like, yeah, I ran around like this at Comic-Con all day. And they were like, what?
Freed from fame.
So that was, well, and not like, you know, quote unquote fame.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the kind of fame you have if you talk about movies a lot.
Yeah.
And people are like, I like people who talk about movies. And I'm like, well, do I have a show for you?
Oh, yeah. I understand it. It's also like public radio fame. Yeah,
yes. Yeah. It's that kind of like, not wink, wink. Like if I went into Hall H, I would be like, oh, I'm no one.
Yeah. It's like a micro situation. It's like you got to be in the right room.
But it's micro, but it's intense, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. It is, right. It's not like someone who's like, oh, I watch The Big Bang Theory every Monday, and
Bazonger.
I sure like it. Bazonger, yeah. I love those little fellas.
Oh.
But I'm sure it is a smaller number, but they burn with the intensity of 1,000 fans, I would imagine.
Yes, they're great, and they're and so it was fantastic. I got to go. I got to walk around. And look at comic books and meet people. I'm going to drop a name. Feel free to
do it. Do it.
So Kristen Chenoweth, as she said on the show that I was on. Ooh, the next day. Yeah, I did. You feel that name? She was like, oh, Comic-Con's a mall and people pay a lot of money to be here. And it's like, yes,
that's a
that
very
is what it
good,
is.
That's a very good. I've only been once, but that's a very good. Oh.
Yes. Is you paying, paying to watch commercials?
Yes, you pay to watch commercials. You pay to buy things.
You pay to watch the commercial a little bit before everybody else.
And you wait in a long line.
That's true. You
to
do.
Buy something.
For like ever. And then you walk around the non-Hall H parts. And I bought so much art of like black superheroes. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be like, You know, if you've ever been to one of the, well, maybe, but those like grandma houses where it's like Martin Luther King, Black Jesus, like yeah. it's just going to be me, but it's going to be like Storm, Black Panther, Wonder Woman dressed as Pam Grier for some reason, or Pam Grier dressed as Wonder Woman for some reason. Like that's what my entire house is going to be.
Linda, this kind of overlaps with your world a little bit. Did you ever do, have they ever put you on the Comic-Con beats, or is that something you have stayed away from?
I have basically stayed away from it. I have a little bit of like a crowd thing.
Sure, yes.
I get a little claustrophobic and weirded out. Mm. And also for me, it's like a it's just a hard thing to figure out anything to write about. I don't necessarily like writing. Like, I was at this panel and Mark Ruffalo came. Like,
and then he said this. And then they said this.
Because I feel like, that, first of all, that's everybody's Twitter feed.
Sure.
It's also always really close to when press tour is. And there's, I don't, like, doing both back to back is something that, like, talk about a young person's game. Like,
I
know a few people in TCA who do it, but, like, most of the people I know have stopped doing it because it's just.
Right.
There's too much time.
That's how it's how those pop culture writers develop those cocaine habits. They need to stay up for Comic-Con. They need to talk to Dean Cain about his Christmas puppy.
Exactly.
You gotta snort some rowdy powder.
Oh, I wish it was cocaine. It's mostly just like a lot of like that yerba mata.
Tea
that they sell at the 7-Eleven that's right down the street from the hotel.
Yes, I know. Right.
Give me that yerbs.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, like, it sounds like such an old person thing to say, but it's remarkable how consistently journalists I know who cover Comic-Con say, I'm not going. There's nowhere to sit. Like, they won't even let you sit on the floor. Mm-mm. It will really take a toll on your ankles.
We mentioned passionate fans a second ago, and I just actually, there's something I need to address here. It's a source of shame. I'll be honest. Something that I've been dealing with all week since we taped our last episode. And not to get too dramatic with you guys, but I messed up last week, and I think I owe the fans an apology. I thought I was better than this. Apparently, I'm not. When I said I was humming the Police Academy theme song last episode, it turned out to be the Coach theme song. So I would like to. That's the Coach theme song. I will now hum the correct theme song, just so everybody can fucking get their shit together and stop bothering me about it online. The Police Academy theme song goes. Oh fuck! How does it go? Is this going to be another thing?
It's going to be a thing.
Oh my gosh! Did I forget? I've been humming it all day in preparation. Well, guys, I'm choking.
Yeah. Well, while you think of it, I will tell a quick story.
Would you please?
How, Delta Burke and Coach's daughter lived in the same cul-de-sac as my dad and used to be stepmom back in I think it was Puyallup, Washington. Back in
Delta Burke and Coach's daughter.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
How was that?
It was fine. She had a house. Sometimes they would come by and they would not look at anyone in the eye.
Amazing.
Because why would you? You're Delta Burke and your coach.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why would you?
Okay, guys. I need to. This is big. This was going to be my moment. I was going to make it up to everyone, and I have failed them.
Would you like me to look it up on my phone?
No. I think I can get it together. I think we need to take a break. I need to take a deep breath and maybe spend some time with the Lord. But after that, we'll be back with more Jordan Jesse Go.
What the f*** is an interview? I mean, I do not know.
That was Oscar-winning filmmaker Errol Morris. I'm Jesse Thorne, host of NPR's Bullseye. Allow me to introduce The Turnaround, a new podcast series produced by MaximumFun.org and presented with the Columbia Journalism Review. Join me as I sit down with some of our greatest living interviewers to ask them about interviewing and why and how they do what they do. We'll go deep with some of the biggest names in media, people like Larry King, Katie Couric, Audie Cornish, who'll be among friends on The Turnaround. 2 episodes a week, all summer. Subscribe now and tell somebody.
Love you, 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 love you
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jordan Morris, Boy Detective.
Danielle Radford.
Linda Holmes, Quaker Avenger.
Danielle, you know you need a nickname. Come on, man. Come on, get your shit together.
Russell Yeller.
There you go.
Danielle
See?
Danielle Radford, yes,
I
Russell
like,
Yeller.
See?
Nice.
The Police Academy theme song goes like this. Da 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 da. I'm sorry. I apologize. I apologize. I fucked up. I fucked up the redo. I just hope you, the listener, can forgive me and allow me back into your home every week. So. With that, something else I'd like to talk about, something else that people have been asking me about on Twitter that is not related to the Police Academy theme song. Yeah, kind of a weird week for me last week. For newish and casual listeners, for 3.5-ish years, wrote for At Midnight on Comedy Central, and they just announced that the show is canceled. So, yeah, it's been a big, weird one for me. And I want to, like, talk about it a little bit, about how I'm feeling about it. But I also want to kind of acknowledge that, like, it's hard to be too woe is me about it because it was a fucking awesome job that I was lucky to have. And, you know, it is one that a lot of people would have wanted and I was very lucky to have it. And it totally changed my life. So I feel like, you know, complaining that it ended is like saying that, you know, why isn't this cake bigger? Or why doesn't this five-layer dip have another layer? Or, you know, this orgy was over too soon or something, you know.
Why was this orgy happening at the Playboy Mansion?
Yes, exactly. We need more gym mats.
Why didn't they replace the gym mats after the last orgy?
My knees are slipping off of the gym mats and onto the concrete while I'm at this orgy. Yeah, James Caan is not an attentive enough lover. He's paying too much attention to Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit, and I won't have it. This is the worst orgy I've ever been to. So it was a surprise. I think that a lot of people kind of asked me kind of in the wake of it. Oh, did you guys knew, right? I mean, you probably knew for a long time, and no, we did not know. We absolutely did not know. Aww. So I think we found out maybe an hour before the kind of like deadline in Hollywood Reporter articles came out. And it's tough. And I think that I do kind of recognize, you know, how lucky I was to have it, but also fuck, I'm bummed. I'm so bummed and, you know, a little terrified. I think in the show business, there's always that sense of, well, I'm finished. I'll never work again. That was my time and it's over. And I should just learn how to sell real estate like cinnamon and maybe sell off that POG collection that's been burning a hole in my pocket. It's very weird, and I kind of don't know what I will do next. I think returning to the world of freelance writing and doing submissions and stuff like that.
Have you thought about having five jobs? Because I've learned that you can almost make rent if you have five writing jobs.
Yeah, and I think that's a fucking great example of the world of the, you know, writer on the Guild show and the writer on the internet thing is being able to make your rent.
Yeah.
I definitely realized that I was very, very lucky because there are talented and funny people out there, Danielle Radford, for instance, who do great work but just happen to do it for websites and stuff. So, I definitely am kind of back in that pool now, which is interesting.
So when I get to a point of developing my pilot, which is very specifically just about what it's like to be a young black woman dealing with her young black woman hair, would you like me to send you something if you're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a spot on the staff, I mean, I definitely grew up white and straight and privileged, and I realize that. But I mean, having similar hair, I think I can relate to many of your struggles. Finding a nice leave-in conditioner for one.
You want to bring a range of viewpoints to the writer's room, right, Daniel?
Yeah, you want to bring a bunch of different people. I want to bring in someone who's never used co-wash, but could.
Sure. Yeah, no, and I appreciate it. You know, if you have a diversity spot on the
you would definitely be our white dude spot.
Thank you. No,
I'm
flattered. I'm very, very flattered.
Yeah.
So it's tough, and I think something that I'm kind of realizing is that I maybe have done a shitty job cultivating my life outside of that job. I really threw myself into it really hard when I got it because I wanted it so bad, you know? And when I finally got it, it was like, all right, shit, time to do a great job at this and not much else. And I think, I'm kind of coming out of it and just with this like, shit, what do I talk about at a fucking party? You know, I guess I have these kind of long-term worries like, you know, like the rent is fine for a while. Comedy Central is very, very nice about this shitty situation and, you know, is paying everyone through their contracts and, you know, kind of giving people, you know, a little bit of time paid to get their affairs in order. So rent, not a problem now. It will be perhaps in the future, hopefully not. But now I feel like my main concern is when I am – a meeting when I'm talking to a friend at a party, what the fuck do I talk about? I mean, I think if you listen to this podcast, you know, like, oh, I just have so many stories like, well, I was at this job and this said, and I said this at work and this happened at work. And I'm like, fuck, now that I who am I? Who am I? And it's so weird to think about who am I moving forward and how do I fill that time between jobs? It's very strange.
Well, Linda, and I don't know if you know about this, but have you heard of Runyon?
Interesting. No, tell me more about Runyon Canyon. This is a place that people go and
so,
they...
So you go and you walk up it and no one knows why. And then when you're done walking up it with yourself or a friend or a dog that you have been paid to be their friend, then you just like walk back down.
Yeah. And then you just tell everybody, oh, I just did Runyon today.
I said Runyon.
Huh?
This is a local goof. Maybe we can explain Runyon to you. So there's a lot of great hiking in L.A. One of the places...
I've heard.
One of the places...
rumor has it.
One of the places that I might say you should avoid when looking for a great hike down here is Runyon Canyon.
Runyon
and it is a place in kind of like the Hollywood Hills where you hike... But also, apparently, you get very dressed up for that hike.
Yeah, like you – so – which is a weird thing because I also do a lot of like – I do a show about being plus size and blah, blah, blah. And a lot of like the plus size clothes now are just like, here's half a hoodie. And I'm like, I don't – but why? Why can't I wear –
It's the left half.
Why can't I wear the whole hoodie or not at all?
Mm-hmm.
And so people get very – you put your full face on.
Yeah. Everybody –
spray it down with that stuff that makes your makeup live on your face.
Is it supposed to do something other than – like you don't do that for regular hiking. What is it about this particular canyon that makes people think –
I think it's just
an occasion.
It's around.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah,
it's
the convenient booty call of canyons because it's like right in Hollywood.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you can
yeah.
literally just like if like it's close to
Runyon. You up? Is that the
yeah?
Yeah, sure. You up a hill? So,
like, if you've ever been to Nerd Melt or any of those things, like it's in that neighborhood, so it's pretty easy to like get to, and then you just like
yeah
go up.
So if you got drunk and fell asleep at Scott Baio's compound, you could get up and hike Runyon to hike off that hangover. It is in kind of a like stereotypically Hollywood neighborhood.
Okay.
And yeah, I think it's just this place that people who would like to be seen looking hot know they can go and look hot.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And you're not
so
like if
the
you go
Bally's
to,
Total Fitness.
Yeah. Like if you go to Griffith
Canyon
Park,
walking.
For example.
Yes.
Griffith Park, you know, great place. A lot of families, a lot of kids, a lot of barbecues, you know, just a fun public park. And I think if you are a hot person, you don't want all those yelling kids.
Yeah.
No.
You don't want all these ugly parents and blue-collar
so like
people around.
Hiking with bottle service.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I have to get to the top, and then I got to refresh, and then I got to smize.
Yeah.
You got to smize.
How am I going to concentrate on smizing?
Danielle's right, Jordan. This is exactly what you need.
Yeah.
This is what you should spend, and then just cultivate that Instagram presence until you hit, what is it, like 10 grand followers? Like 10,000 followers. And then you can start selling...
Makeup.
Tummy tea.
Yeah.
That makes people poop. The things that you put on your teeth.
Yeah.
You make your teeth white
wow.
and light up and stuff. There's
guys,
a world for
your
you.
Clothing.
Your clothes, what you wear. Yeah, the clothes.
I'm
going to
start selling a quarter of a hoodie. Yeah. It's just a hood, and you tie it around your. Yeah, it's a hood and two dangly strings.
Wow, both strings?
Guys, you know I'm not on the grams.
Oh, you got to get on them grams. You can start selling the stuff.
Got to get on the grams.
Something that happened to me the day that it happened, the first thing that I did was, so I had been, I'd been at this job for a while, and I'm like, hey, might be, I don't know, might be time to look at buying a house, you know? I got this job and it's pretty lucrative and I think it'll be going. I mean, they would be crazy. Comedy Central would be crazy to cancel this fucking show.
This could go for 10 years.
Yeah, this could absolutely. This could be exactly. This is the Tonight Show of Comedy Central. They would never cancel it. So my internet dicking around or my phone dicking around that I was doing was on the Zillow app.
Yeah.
Have you seen you guys
I look at Zillow, yeah.
Zillow is like a house Tinder. If you will, or a house Yelp. But when that happened, I just fucking rage deleted that app. Oh, I rage deleted that Zillow app. Like, oh, fuck you.
So
fuck you, economy.
But
yes.
So the thing is,
yes.
Here's what I would say.
Yeah.
I, as a person who has already had a couple of jobs and careers not work out,
yeah.
Theoretically, what you would talk about at parties is whatever you talked about at parties before.
Oh, yeah.
Because what happens is you become so enmeshed in one particular job that it feels like what on earth? Like this is that is a very similar feeling to the feeling that I had when I left Television Without Pity, which was the site that I wrote at for a long time.
Oh my god, I love Television Without Pity.
Yeah, beloved TV review site.
Oh.
I wrote there for a long time, and when it had been bought and it was kind of changing, and I decided to leave. I had that feeling of like, no, but this is me. This is my entire thing, and I will have no idea what I'm doing. And I actually saw when I left, I actually found a lovely supportive person on the internet saying she sucks so bad that she is going to be in 6 months living at her parents' house begging somebody to give her a job.
Oh, my God.
Shout out.
Is very specific.
Yeah, but the thing that was great about it was I was like, well, not now, I'm not. So because like once you read that, you're like, well, guess I'm not going back to live with my parents.
I guess I got to succeed now.
I can't let like, Juggalo Stud 69 be right.
And it's like so you like there is always a next thing. Like you know this. There is always a next thing.
Yeah, and it's definitely there's like the practical side of me that knows that like, well, I've never been unemployed that long, and I have a nice resume, and I have people who care about me, and I have this nice podcast, and you know things will be fine. But then there's just that other part of your brain that will take control. For no reason, if you drive by a weird billboard or have too much cold brew, that's like, well, you're going to die.
Oh, it's terrifying.
And it's coming soon.
It's terrifying.
So it is weird of like just trying to get that practical part of your brain to be in control more of the time.
Yeah.
Daniel, what's the – before you started doing comedy full time, what was the job you had the longest?
I was a paralegal.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You were an attorney.
I was.
Oh, shit.
I was.
That's awesome.
Yep.
We're giving each other a high five.
We are.
You guys can't see it.
We are.
Yeah, no, I was a paralegal back in Seattle. I was a paralegal working in family law predominantly. Oh, and then,
that's tough.
Yep.
My sister works in family law.
Yeah. Yike. And then when I moved here to Los Angeles, I was doing a lot of which I was already kind of doing before, a lot of probate and estate planning, and then also, which was new for me, was a lot of personal injury, some corporate law, some civil rights stuff, workplace wrongful terminations, some wrongful death.
Oh boy,
which is yikes, that kind of thing.
Now, did you leave when you started, you know, making some money on comedy, or did you leave for other reasons?
Oh, no. They sure as shit laid me off.
Oh, boy.
Oh, they laid me smooth the fuck off.
Okay.
So I had I think I've talked about this on the podcast. If not, I've talked about it on other ones, so folks who know me know what's coming. So I was walking down the street one day. It was the day before New Year's Eve, 2014, when I was hit in the body by a bus.
Oh, boy. Yes.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I landed in a gutter like 20 feet away. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
That sounds like a whole – sounds like a deal.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was such a hassle.
Sounds like a real how do you do.
Well, it's sort of –
sorry funny. For the strong language, but that sounds like a real how do you do.
You hear that story and you're like, and now she talks about wrestling. Makes
sure.
Sense. I'm envisioning you like flying through them. Like, she gets it.
Yeah, yeah.
She understands.
So, now I get it. Now yeah. I get wrestling more than I ever
yeah,
have before.
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, no, but so – so I was dealing with injuries and all this other stuff, and I was still working there, and they were going through some changes from what, like, they wanted me to do and what I could actually, like, do. And they laid me off, even though I was still coming and doing the work and whatever. They were like, eh, we're all going to go a different direction. So I got laid off, which is fine. They're also my lawyers for this thing, and there's sure. no, like, hard feelings or ill will or anything like that. They're good peeps. And so they laid me off, and it wound up being the best fucking thing that ever happened
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
I was looking for other work. While I was on unemployment, just trying to find anything, like part-time work, full-time work, anything that someone could give me. And as soon as you tell people I got hit by a bus, and it's like, no, I'm not like disabled, but I got hit by a bus. I've got some injuries, but I'm not disabled. People would be like, yeah, but we're going to go with the person that was like not hit by a bus.
All things like, being if we, equal.
If you're telling me you're not disabled and we don't have
boy.
To make accommodations for you, we're going to go with the person who wasn't hit by the bus instead of the person who was. And then, like, I started Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
You know Jesse.
Sure. Yeah,
you
yeah.
Jesse, right?
Yeah. I follow him on Twitter, but
heard
I've never
yeah, okay.
met him.
Yeah, yeah, you guys have heard of him. So it started, like, Jesse approached me on the Twitter because he was looking for someone to do a wrestling, like, a couple people mm-hmm. to do a wrestling
yeah.
podcast. And he was like, hey, does anyone know of any, like, women, particularly women of color in Los Angeles, who like wrestling? And apparently, like, 30 people were like, Danielle Radford. So that was like my first thing where I was like working with people and doing mm-hmm. and doing like having a creative kind of a thing. It wasn't like money, but it was fun and I really enjoyed it. And from there, like, it's just I did that when my unemployment ran out and I was trying so hard to get like temp jobs or other jobs. I got super lucky where Screen Junkies was looking for someone else to come in.
Mm-hmm.
I wound up getting a job with them. And then it's just like, boom, this thing, that thing, this thing, that thing. And all this shit happened at once. And I was like not expecting it. And I
yeah.
was not prepared.
Yeah.
And so even now, like, Screen Junkies, who I still, again, work with and they're great, they're no longer one of, because for a while they were like my primary employer. They mm-hmm. had me on like every day. So they're not like my primary employer anymore. But like, now I have other people, and I've been doing some stuff with E on, like, their Musical.ly, which is an app, I guess. I don't know. I'm your grandma.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
your
yeah.
grandma, but it's an app, so we do, like, this crush series.
Can I look at it on the computer when I go to the public library to check my email?
And it's music. How do you spell that? There's a dot somewhere
yeah.
where dots don't need to be. But, like, I've been doing some of that and some other things. And so it turns out that, like, after a while, if you've been working and you're consistent and you stay working and you have a good attitude, like, stuff happens. You just keep, like, an open mind, and you keep submitting for things. It's not like I haven't been submitting,
sure, sure.
and that's half
mm-hmm.
of why I'm getting the things I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep a good attitude, you keep doing stuff, it turns out if you're nice and smart and funny and people like you, you will get things. You just have to be really patient. And for
yeah.
me, it took, like, 10 years before I could get to this
yeah.
point, which
yeah.
is someone like, you know, I don't know if any of you, if both of you know Marcella Auello.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, she was another one who's...
Speaking at Midnight Favorite. She is so, so funny on
she's
that
fantastic.
Show.
She's fantastic. So
and
she's another one
comic.
Who she's been working for, like, 11 years, and now she's at a point where she's, like, writing for TV,
uh-huh.
and she tours all over. I'm not at the point where I tour all over yet, but I'm working for the, you know, I'm writing and doing work for the internet and all the stuff. It's just like, you know, it takes like a really long time.
Yeah. And I also think, like, I think in certain, particularly in certain kinds of careers, like, certain kinds of careers are fairly linear, and people get the one job and then they get the next job up and then they get the next job up. I have had much more of a life where, like, every 7 or 8 years since I was like 23, I just add a totally new thing. Like, I went to law school when I was 23. 23. Yeah, I went to law school when I was 23. I started writing for money when I was 30. I started podcasting when I was – that was 10 years because I started in 2010. And so it's like every 8-ish years I add a different thing. And yeah. I think creative people are like that. And it's not necessarily a magic number in terms of how long that cycle is, but I think – like that chapter, those like chapter arrangements are really common with creative people. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's an awesome chapter. And one of the things I always tell people about TV is that one of the really regrettable things about American television is people are not always good at saying like, this show was on for 3 years or 4 years and it was awesome. And it's a total success for the thing that it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you look back and you're like, oh, Freaks and Geeks, what a failure. Like, it's just, it was only on for one season.
Yeah, what a stinker.
But it's a brilliant like document, right? And
yes.
That's true of a bunch of different things.
And if you look at the success of everyone on there,
right.
even like a John Daly, who for a while was kind of doing the least amount,
right.
He's writing things.
Right.
And
he just wrote Spider-Man, right?
Yeah, he just wrote Spider-Man. Like
yeah.
He wrote a goddamn Spider-Man.
He wrote a goddamn Spider-Man.
His show got canceled and he wrote a fucking Spider-Man.
And he's delightful.
Yeah. Even the guy who was Jonathan on Buffy is like written some great things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And so I think what we're telling you, Jordan, is that you will write the next Spider-Man movie.
Oh, yes, that's what we're telling you.
Oh, God, I have so many ideas.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the first time we've seen Carnage on film. No. Well, yeah, actually, why don't we take a quick break? I have a unemployment-related question for you guys,
okay.
But we will get to it after these announcements.
Creativity, comedy, and friendship. All these things and more are waiting for you at Max FunCon East at the maybe haunted Pocono Manor, September 1st through 3rd. We only have a few tickets left, and they're on sale right now, so head on over to maxfuncon.com to buy your tickets. Don't miss out. La, la,
la, la, la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm Danielle Radford, Russell Yeller.
And Linda Holmes, Quaker Avenger.
We got some messages on the Jumbotron. This message is for David in Portland from Serge and Tony and their mom. David is a lout and a churl, the king of an empty castle, sitting atop an ivory tower only he can see. This is a cold read, people. He said that the beef and dairy network is too high concept. He beat the curve on the man bun, but only because we told him to do it. David, you may refute these claims, but only via Jumbotron on your favorite podcast, Mabim Bam. Good luck, scrub. That's a little lot to parse in there.
That's what you
There's
get when
so
you
much.
Read when you read your Jumbotron message into Siri.
Man bun, meat and dairy.
Yeah, great. Is this? I feel like we just activated like a hypno soldier. I feel like there's a hypnotized soldier who...
And that was the guy.
Yes, and now he's going to assassinate the Prime Minister of Guam.
Sorry, guys. We just woke up.
Yeah.
We just woke up.
Yeah, we just woke him up.
One more. I don't know how much sense this one will make. This is from... this is for Michael Tartell. This message is from your favorite cousin and Lottie's favorite grandchild, Zach.
Wow.
Hey, I totally bought some extra pins for your very past birthday. I don't have your contact info, so send it through Jordan Morris or some other Max Fun person to me, and I'll send some cool belated gifts. I miss you, and I hope you're crushing the viruses or whatever. Maybe Caitlin and I will visit and check out that crepe place. Hashtag bring back Barry Blue Jeans. What does any of this mean?
All I know is that they want us to have his contact information.
Yeah, I guess I'm supposed to deliver a package? Now I'm in on this? Am I doing dead drops for you people? Jesus Christ.
This is like one of those number stations. 5, 86, pin,
Yankee,
Caitlin.
Hotel, Foxtrot.
This is how you get arrested, Jordan.
Oh,
is
boy.
He's giving out.
All right.
He's becoming a courier.
Yeah, I know.
Podcast.
Oh, geez. This is how Putin is communicating information to his agents in America. If you have a message you want to share, nonsense or otherwise, hit us up at MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. We can get your message out to people for a reasonable price. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And I am Danielle Radford, Russell Yeller.
Yes.
And I'm Linda Holmes, Quaker Avenger.
So, guys, the pop culture related question I wanted to ask to you before we get to our calls is this, I am very lucky to have two great pop culture writers and talkers here. Linda Holmes, of course, of the Pop Culture Happy Hour, one of the finest pop culture podcasts for my money, and Danielle Radford of Tights and Fights and many, many internet projects. So, if one had a lot of free time on their hands, suddenly. And maybe thought they needed to crawl into a dark hole for a couple of days and let things process. Mm-hmm. What is a good show to cram in your face hole that you could potentially have done or, you know, maybe like halfway done at the end of this morning period? Does anything come to mind immediately? Good show. Something to fill the time.
Something finished?
Doesn't have to be. I kind of like something that I can kind of like finish in a sitting.
Give me three TV shows that you like.
Yeah.
Okay. Stuff that I've liked. I love The Leftovers. Leftovers is like my favorite TV of the past couple years. I really, really loved the third season of Fargo.
Okay.
And I watched when Fargo came out originally, the TV show. Couldn't have DVR'd that faster. Loved the Coen brothers, loved the original movie, and just had such a negative reaction to that first episode. I was like, oh, fuck this.
Oh, interesting.
But then I'm like, all right, Fargo.
I think it was too close. I think that first season was too close to the movie.
Yeah. I don't know.
I still loved that season, though.
I did, too.
I loved the first two seasons, both, yeah. Sorry, tell me something else.
Oh, no. And I also really am enjoying the show Great News on NBC. Great
cool.
News. Anything, anything from anyone involved in 30 Rock, I'm basically on board for.
Interesting.
Okay.
Let's see. Because, like, the thing is, my brain goes to, like, my comfort genres, which are different from that, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm, like, the thing that I've been recommending to everybody who's, like, tell me something to watch on Netflix, I'm always like, oh, watch the new One Day at a Time, because it's awesome.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've had a lot of people talk about the new One Day at a Time.
It's really fantastic.
Yeah.
And if you like Great News, which means you can tolerate, like, kind of like comedy, like sitcom-y comedy.
Yeah.
But it is more traditional, like it is multi-camera, it has
laugh track,
it has
studio audience.
But at the same time, like, it's so good. If you can kind of get past that, I really love it.
Okay.
And then, but like, I then always wind up being like, if you see the Great British Baking Show, like that, because that's the kind of stuff that I love for like settling in. But it's so specific to the person. You're like a Carrie Coon guy. And
maybe I just like things that involve Carrie Coon. God, she's so good in both those things.
Yeah. In which case you should watch the movie of Gone Girl.
I have seen the movie of Gone Girl. Yeah. I like it a lot.
She's in that too.
Okay.
Have you seen, it's an old Comedy Central show called Dog Bites Man?
Oh, right. This is like the first time Zach Galifianakis was on TV, right?
Yes. It's really funny. It's
maybe
about
Andrea
a news
Savage
team.
In that?
Yeah, it's about a news team in Spokane. Just about any, if you look at it now, it's filled of, oh, that guy. I had to look it up just to make sure. But yeah, it's Matt Walsh, Andrea Savage, Zach Galifianakis, A.D. Miles. A lot of people that you recognize have been in that.
Oh, nice.
And it is super, super funny.
It's so interesting. You're saying that Comedy Central canceled a show before it was fucking ready. And everybody, and people who were working on it probably wanted to buy a house.
That's a good pull.
Yeah, I love that show.
Okay.
They still, I think, occasionally show it on there, and I think it's amazing. You've seen Veronica Mars, right?
Yes, I have. Not the whole thing. I've seen a few Veronica Marses.
Veronica
Maybe
Mars
that's it.
Is a one that you got at least the first season.
Okay.
If nothing else, you have to finish the first season. Yeah. That first season, I think, is the most perfect first season of television of the modern era.
I would say also Friday Night Lights, but I but Veronica Mars is a good pull for that too. Have you watched The Good Place?
No, I haven't watched The Good Place.
It's a good show.
Yeah, I've seen a few Good Places and I liked it.
It's
maybe
a good
something
show.
To revisit.
That's a good show. If you're into, again, if you're into like a comedy that you can kind of dip in and out of. You've watched probably like some of the very silly stuff. Like you've watched Frisky Dingo and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah,
Frisky
Adult
Dingo
Swimmy
is amazing.
Type stuff.
Frisky Dingo is fun. And see, I don't always love all that stuff. I'm not a consistent
right.
like, person who loves that kind
Stony
of
Stony animated
like,
show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I really liked Frisky Dingo.
Okay.
I thought Frisky Dingo.
Yeah, I mean, I love Archer more than anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
Frisky Dingo's
same
good,
guys.
Good idea.
Have you seen The League?
Oh, I have. I used to watch. The League used to be like a regular watch for me, and it slipped off basically for no good reason. It's one of those shows you're like, why did I stop watching that?
It's
no reason.
It's good. Yeah. There will be at least one episode every season where you're like, yeah, well, that's crossing the lines of good taste that I've drawn for myself.
Yeah.
But
sure.
It's consistently so funny
that,
like, you find yourself forgetting that guy lied about 9/11. It's so funny that you forget that he lied so hard.
That's on the DVD box now, right? So funny you forget that guy lied about 9/11.
Have you watched Catastrophe?
Oh, no, I haven't watched Catastrophe.
I think you might like Catastrophe. It's real weird and it's real filthy.
Okay.
I think you might enjoy Catastrophe.
Yeah. All right.
I enjoy Catastrophe a lot.
And those are short. Those are tiny little seasons.
Yeah.
10 episodes, six
they
episodes?
Are. They are.
Something like that.
I think they're six. Yeah.
You've seen Empire,
episodes.
Right?
I've not seen Empire.
Bruh.
Yeah.
It's so silly.
Did I fuck up by not seeing Empire?
Campy and so amazing.
This is the show starring Cookie, right?
Yeah, it's so incredibly over the top and good.
Okay.
It's definitely one of those ones where it's like, put your fucking brain away and just watch Cookie be Cookie and just watch like a bunch of people who should probably be nominated for awards, but for not that show, a different show, not that show, a different show, and watch them be amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that one's really good that I enjoy. Nashville is another one where it's like, I love it. And my dream would be a Nashville Empire crossover.
Yeah, Nashville and Empire are basically the same.
They're basically the same show.
just with a totally different sensibility. And I think Empire is another one where, like, the thing I love about shows like Empire is, like, I do the thing that people swear that you can't do with serialized shows, which is, like, I dip in and out of them.
Yeah.
And sometimes I check in on, like, episode descriptions, and I'm like, okay, that sounds like I would enjoy it.
As
opposed to, like, oh, they're doing a story with these people again. I don't care about these people. Mm-hmm. So if you hit – there's enough of Empire now that if you hit a piece of Empire that you don't like, you can always be like, I'm going to pick it up again in four episodes. I'm going to jump forward. People say you can't do that. It's such a lie.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there's recaps and stuff like that.
Well,
you're
not going to be that confused.
Oh,
sure.
Speaking of things you can kind of that go crazy and go all over the place, have you seen Scandal yet?
I was in an episode of Scandal, thank you very much, and I still get a fucking check for
it
every couple months.
What?
Yes, I had a couple lines in an episode of Scandal season 2.
I've seen every episode. How have I missed you in Scandies?
I'm a publisher of a tabloid. I was paying someone who got killed for information.
Oh man,
what?
That could be any
it's
season,
like
three, anytime.
It's like,
damn
it's
it.
Like three between three and five lines.
Stop downplaying it. Scandal.
Okay, now immediately I have to go look you up in Scandal. You know that's my afternoon now.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, I'm very good at that episode. Once in a while, someone from Scandal will contact my management and say, "Is he available?" Because as I was leaving, the director said to me, "He's like, all right, well, you didn't die, so you could come back." So I think they have a Scandal averse that I am in.
Right.
Yeah.
And
your canon.
I think everyone's clamoring for the return of sleazy tabloid reporter.
Well, and it's that world of Washington, D.C. that doesn't exist.
And eventually the spinoff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
you'll have your own spinoff. And the thing that's so funny about their vision of D.C., the one thing I always point out to people is, like, at one point there was somebody where they said that they were selling they had a luxury car dealership in Tacoma Park. And I was like, that would never happen. That cannot happen. You would not have a luxury car dealership in Tacoma Park. Hybrids, maybe. Not a luxury.
Sure. It's a little more crunchy. Yeah, sure.
Well, it's like Crazy Ex-Girlfriends and like that beginning episode where they're just wandering around downtown LA. And I'm like, it's
Yeah.
Okay.
It's you can.
Which
eat,
is another
what,
one.
What did they get? What did they get wrong about the Downtown LA?
No, because they were supposed to be in New York.
Oh, sure.
And they're trying to crop out the palm trees, mm-hmm. but like we still see you palm trees.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of superhero.
Just crossing out tacos and writing pizza on all the signs. We can see that you've crossed it out.
Superhero movies where it's supposed to be someplace else and it's Toronto.
Yeah,
and
sure, sure, sure.
Humor,
and
yeah.
everybody will be like, I see all the Toronto stuff.
Hey, I'm walking here. Hey.
Hey.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Taxi, you hoser.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend's another one, if you would
okay.
like to.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Crazy
I mean,
Ex-Girlfriend is great.
Yeah, I mean,
oh,
Rachel Bloom is terrific.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
great.
The
that's
songs great. Are top awesome. Tier. It does, you will cringe a whole bunch, but like it also makes you feel better about your entire
and it's a
yeah.
fail ass life.
And it has a like a dark, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
it has a kind of a,
yes.
it's sweet, but it has also like a very...
Sure, it's got some teeth.
It's got some teeth.
Okay.
Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure.
Well, yes, thank you guys. Great recommendations all. And now we would like to turn, as we always do, to our phone lines. People will call us at 206-984-4FUN to tell us about various amazing things that have happened to them. Let's listen to our first call now.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, and guests. This is Chelsea in Lawrence, Kansas. I'm calling with a momentous occasion. I'm on my way to see Baby Driver, proudly wearing my Judge John Hodgman enamel pin that I got in the mail. But in the lane next to me is a Ford Explorer, like the pickup truck thing. And on the back window is one of those, like, in memoriam decals on it, you know, that people put on the back of their car to remember a lost loved one or friend or whatever. But it is for Paul Walker, and it has an outline of his car from Fast and the Furious, and it says, "Dude, I almost had you," with it says Paul Walker, like 1973 to 2013, and then his signature. And that felt pretty momentous. So anyway, thanks. Love the show. Bye.
I mean, I get it. I'm a fan of the Fast and Furious movies. I think Paul Walker mm-hmm. is fucking great in them. Mm-hmm. You know what? I approve of this person's bumper sticker.
Yeah.
He was a goddamn show business light.
Yeah. I saw him just after he died. I saw him in the one that was like the parkour movie.
Oh, yes. Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Based on like the French. So it was like based on a French movie.
Yeah.
And now I'm not going to remember what it's called. But I enjoyed him. I always kind of enjoyed him, and I do love the Fast and Furious movies.
Boy, yeah, they sure are great.
Yeah, they're really fun movies. They're very, very silly. I like that they have ratcheted up the insanity every movie.
Oh, my gosh, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean,
that's my
I don't know if you've
part.
Seen the most yeah. recent one, but Jason Statham fucking those guys up on the plane while carrying a baby.
Yeah, that is
yes.
the best. This is one
like,
of the best sequences.
Yeah, they joke that, like, oh, we could be in space next, but I'm like, I will... Just tell me when to get in line.
Yes.
Right.
Go to space.
I will watch
exactly.
it when you're in space. Like, why is that even a question?
I was going
to
say, like, just... are you suggesting it's, like, too over the top? Like, no. There's no such thing as that.
Back in time, the cars are just driving around shooting missiles at dinosaurs. Just do it. No one will say it's too weird.
Honestly, if they could do a Fast and Furious and Transformer crossover, that might be the way
yes.
that I would enjoy a Transformers
Fast and
movie.
Furious.
That would be the only way.
Oh, man, them just hanging out with Bumblebee. Oh.
Fast and Furious Asaurus. That's the one Jordan wants.
All right, excuse me. I have several movies to write.
you know what
you
you're,
have all this time.
Yes.
You know what you're going to do.
Let's take one more call, shall we?
Hi, this is Steven from St. Louis with a momentous occasion. Hi, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. I just encountered a small child at the Target that has Sonic the Hedgehog shaved into his head. That's like a haircut. Not only that, there was actually dyed blue. Very impressive. Thanks.
Good delivery.
You know
that
what?
That is amazing. That is momentous. That kid got to go fast. What are
yeah.
we going to do? Are we going to stop him from going fast?
No. Don't. Yes.
Never going to stop that kid from going fast.
Sonic's got to run. Sonic's got to run.
Bird's got to fly.
Bird's got to fly. Sonic's
got to run.
You got to get those rings. You got to go around the loop.
You got to get those rings.
You got to get the rings.
Got to get those rings, Jordan.
Well, thank you very much to everyone who gave us a call at 206-984-4FUN if you have a momentous occasion. If you want to violate an NDA anonymously, we're accepting those calls now. 206-984-4FUN. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Danielle Radford, Russell Yeller.
And Linda Holmes, Quaker Avenger.
So, just to mention a few things before we say goodbye this week. Danielle, in addition to the Tights and Fights podcast, the podcast about wrestling that you do right here on MaximumFun.org, you and I will be performing together at the Max Fun Beer Blast. That is August 12th. That is at the Angel City Brewery, downtown Los Angeles. A lot of great guests there. Riley Silverman, the hilarious head writer of International Waters.
Yes.
Terrific stand-up comic, frequent guest on this program. Open Mike Eagle will be doing some music for us.
And he is also of the Tights and Fights podcast.
Yes.
I assume his music will only be tangentially wrestling related, but I don't know.
So there could be some wrestling content. Maybe he has a song about the Ultimate Warrior he'd like to debut.
He might, actually.
I think we'd all like that. And we'll be doing Jordan Jesse Go live there with a special guest, Elliot Kalin from the Flophouse.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Elliot Kalin, a recent New York transplant. This will be his first live show out in L.A. We'd love to welcome him with open arms. So if you want to see Elliot, Danielle, Riley, me, Jesse, Open Mike Eagle, come to the Max Fun Beer Blast, Angel City Brewery, August 12th. Those tickets are $10. They're at MaximumFun.org or on Brown Paper Tickets.
Heck yeah, and if you see me before, my new wig is resplendent.
So oh my gosh, there's a new wig?
This is my new wig.
Oh, I love the wig.
It is resplendent.
Thank you.
It's a very resplendent wig.
Oh, it's my summer hair.
didn't know it was new, but did know it was resplendent.
Thank you.
Linda Holmes, of course, you co-host the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast over there on NPR.org. One of my favorites. It's truly like something that I listen to every week. You guys are my consistent commute/walk/hike buddies. And I think everybody here who enjoys witty, thoughtful discussions of pop culture should be listening to it on the reg.
Appreciate you, Jordan.
Yes. One last thing. Jordan, Jesse, Go listeners, of course, love our timeless catchphrase, it me, I'm that. If you love to – if you see things out in the world, for instance, a squirrel eating a tater tot or a snake dragging a milkshake out of a garbage can.
Oh, shit. It me.
It me. I'm that. It me. We have a special T-shirt up for you at maxfunstore.com. It me. I'm that, with an arrow pointing up to you so you can let people know it you. You're that. MaxFunStore.com. Those are available only for a limited time. That is a limited time item. So don't sleep on it. Get that T-shirt while you still can. MaxFun Beer Blast, August 12th, if you're in the Southern California area. And I think that is it. Thanks to Danielle. Thanks to Linda. Thanks to Daniel on the boards. Thanks to Brian editing the program. We'll see you next week at Jordan, Jesse, Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.